Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury, and welcome to this ASI cast. There's been a great deal of activity recently from online video and pay TV players. In this interview, Paolo Pescatori of CCS Insight shares his thoughts on a number of recent company results with Graham Lovelace, our Media Technologies Director. For Amazon, Netflix and Google, original content and the race for the next great blockbuster seems increasingly to be the name of the game, and the discussion considers the impact this is likely to have on pay TV operators.
It's been a busy week for analysts following developments in online video and TV. A number of media and high-tech companies recently reported results, and there's been a flurry of announcements too from the recent broadcast exhibition and conference in the US. That's the event known as NAB. To discuss these developments and more, no doubt, we're joined by Paolo Pescatori, Director of Multiplay and Media at CCS Insight. Paolo, I'd like to start with Amazon. Now, they're splitting out Prime Video or Instant Video from the Prime offering. What's going on there?
Well, it's actually something that we predicted, Graham, that you'll be delighted to hear about. It puts it in the same category of most. You know, most of their rivals already offer video as a separate service. So it was long overdue, and I think that was one of the barriers for Amazon in actually launching in new countries. So we expect this particular service, which is going to be available in the US first and foremost, will eventually then be rolled out in more countries over coming months in its quest to compete with Netflix. Essentially, Netflix, you know, has got more subs, available in more countries and far greater reach, and can clearly benefit from scale. So this was something that Amazon had to do, and we'll see it aggressively roll out moving forward.
Now, we saw Netflix report its results last week as well. Netflix is quite a volatile stock, isn't it? And we saw quite a share price plunge after they reported. So Wall Street was looking for better growth, is that right?
Well, I can't really comment on financials, but let's be clear about this. You know, Netflix remains the benchmark for all providers and clearly paved the way for others. You know, they've now got more than 81 million subs globally. That's astonishing. You know, when you actually look at the results themselves for calendar Q1, they were actually pretty good. Record net adds, you know, predominantly, you know, most of that growth came from overseas markets, given the expansion into 130 new countries announced at the beginning of the quarter. And it clearly validates the strategy to expand rapidly into new markets. However, and this is where the concern lies, it's around essentially the next two quarters. You know, we've noticed that subscriber growth in calendar Q2 and Q3 historically have slowed down. And I think this is where Wall Street was slightly disappointed, given that Netflix's own outlook for calendar 2Q is lower compared to the number of subscribers it brought in for the same period last year. So let's put it into perspective. You know, the outlook for Q2 this year is around 2.5 million versus the 3.28 it brought in for the same period last year. So I think that's where ultimately the concerns lie.
So more competition for Netflix then, as we've mentioned, from Amazon. Now they're separating out instant video. But we also heard from Google last week. So they're stepping up what is known as YouTube Red, their subscription version of YouTube. And they've also announced they're looking to invest heavily in original content. So further competition for Netflix.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. So for many, you know, clearly, you know, video is proving to be a battleground for all providers. You know, Amazon, you know, Google, they're all trying to mirror Netflix strategy of the investment in the original content. Clearly, the escalating cost of content rights is proving to be quite prohibitive for many providers. So if you can invest in the next biggest blockbuster, then why not? So naturally, Google needs to do that to differentiate its own offering over rivals. But, you know, this is, I believe, was its second or fourth foray into paid for content. And given that it's largely a destination that people have known for free content, it's going to be very, very hard for Google to convert people to actually pay for content. And that represents its most biggest obstacle.
Yeah, and it's not cheap either, is it? It's £9.99 a month, the same price as Netflix, with nowhere near as much the breadth of the Netflix library.
And then added to that, you've got the likes of Amazon, who are spending millions on securing, you know, the, well, they have secured, in fact, the ex-presenters of the Top Gear show to produce a motoring show exclusively for Amazon Prime. So, you know, Google has got its work cut out.
Now, another player then that is often referred to in these conversations, whenever you refer to Netflix, we think about pay TV and we think about Sky across Europe. Sky's results also last week, and they were saying, or their chief executive, Jeremy Darroch, was saying that Netflix isn't a problem to them.
Well, to be honest, well, at least for now, Netflix hasn't represented a significant challenge for Sky. When you look at the UK earnings results from Sky, we actually haven't seen a negative impact on churn. You know, Sky's churn has broadly remained within 10 to 11% for the last couple of years. So for now, anyway, it seems relatively clear that the Netflix service and traditional pay TV services can coexist. However, the threat from the so-called cord cutting is real, given what we've seen in the US. But what's not clear is whether people have downgraded their packages on Sky. And this is what I suspect has actually happened. So, and let's be honest, Sky, you know, strategy and the results validate this, that they've been able to broaden the customer base as a result of the segmentation they've taken. Obviously, with Now TV, we've got the Sky Plus HD box, and now the premium product, Sky Q. And then you've got the additional services such as Sky Storm, that's, you know, there's plenty of scope for growth as well as revenue uplift as well. And the strategy, at least in the UK, is very much focused on revenue uplift, whereas in Italy and Germany, there's plenty of scope to acquire new customers.
At the same time, Sky is continuing to innovate in connected content, isn't it, Paolo? Tell us about Sky VR Studio.
Yeah, that's So they made an investment, I believe, around an event a while or so ago, where they've announced Sky VR Studio, an app to support that. And they are going to actually produce, I believe, more than 20 videos across a wide range of genres this year, exclusively in VR. So the first two were on VR, sorry, F1, Formula One, made in partnership with Formula One Management and the Williams F1 team. And they actually produced one at the tail end of last week with David Beckham to celebrate 25 years of Sky Sports. So that was definitely one for the ladies to enjoy.
And that's available on Facebook 360, which of course then leads us to Facebook and its VR ambitions. Tell us a little bit more about Facebook 360 video.
Yeah, well, there's no day that goes by where there isn't any news in the VR. And let's not forget also last week, the announcement by Verizon's AOL to acquire video specialist RYOT. Certainly on the Facebook side, they've been one of the big advocates for VR along with YouTube. But at the F8 developer event, Facebook announced a whole host of news related to video, as well as support for 360 degrees. Videos. Perhaps one of the biggest announcements actually was the surround 360 camera, following Google's lead, which puts its own technology behind a professional grade 360 degree camera, which it aims to boost the supply chain for high quality 360 degree video. What's interesting in all of this is that there's clearly a few things in common, but most significantly, they represent a great opportunity for these web companies to work more closely with the media industry. And an interesting area is around the sports rights, because many of those guys who own key sports such as football, et cetera, are looking at different ways of providing a more immersive experience for their customers. And we'll get to see a lot more of that over the next 6 to 12 months, particularly as the battle between BT and Sky in the UK intensifies.
So just to wrap everything up, we also then heard that BT Sport is considering live streaming the Champions League final on YouTube. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's an interesting one and extremely significant if it does actually happen. You know, on the one side, it could be seen as an acknowledgement of failure with its inability to sign up more users to BT Sport and more importantly, BT TV, which is its ultimate objective. You know, and on the other side, you know, there's a mandate that it needs to make a proportion of games available on a free-to-air basis, which it's done with some games on the BT Showcase channel, but it's a clear and growing concern that viewers haven't tuned in, and that's something that BT has to address.
Well, thank you very much, Paolo. It's time to wrap this one up again. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. That's Paolo Pescatore, Director of Multiplay and Media at CCS Insight.